talk about the laws of expediency, being careful how we conduct ourselves around the presence of other people as believers. I was talking to one brother, and well, he wasn't a brother, he was not saved. And he made the statement to me, this has been quite a while, that he wasn't really interested in Christianity because they really are very depressed, morbid. They don't have much victory in their life. And I said, well, that doesn't speak for all believers. I meant, you know, if you run into one that's having problems of being victorious, I meant, it doesn't. He said, no. He says, not just one family. I meant, I work with Christians that are miserable. They're always wanting out, believing God to get out of something and this and that. And I got to thinking, man, this guy's real negative. And I says, well, if you was to meet one that's on fire for God, you know, and is content and happy where he's at, would that interest you in Christianity? Of course it wouldn't. You want to know why? He was looking for excuses to run from the living God. And he said, well, who might that be? And I said, you talking to him. But how many of you know that many of us, to be a good witness or testimony, the most personified example you can give them is to have peace and victory under pressure? Should I say that again? The greatest testimony for a Christian to have with the dying world is to have shalom, shalom. The God of peace in your heart under pressure and trial. That'll do more to speak volumes to people. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard where people in our body had a loved one or someone dying or something, and go to the hospital and they'd pray and everything, and these people say, how can you be at such peace? I mean, how can you be so peaceful about this thing? You know, it wasn't normal with a lot of people that don't understand what it means to be at peace when you're a believer. Well, don't you realize they're dying? I meant, you know, oh, hallelujah, I know where they're going. Right. You know what I mean? When catastrophe hits, I'll never forget Sue's sister, Sonny, when catastrophe hit her husband. That as she went there, many of them said, well, how could you be so calm about it? And she said, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. That amazed him. Boy, there's nothing like giving good, strong testimony is when you're under fire and people see what you're like under that fire at peace. You know, on the job, I don't know how many times I've had people want to know what gives me such peace when all hell would break loose in the place I'd work. Now, some Christians fall apart like a cheap watch under pressure. Now, I'm not saying we're all perfect, but I'll tell you what, pressure sure brings out the best in you or the worst. What a testimony. I had a good time with the Lord yesterday. Even though I was busy, I said, Lord, you know, I want to be more at peace when things hit me. I want to know what it means to be at peace. I don't think that I'm at peace like I should be. I want to be more at peace with you. And so he began to lay out some principles in my heart again that brought back to my remembrance what the Word of God has to say about facing life, the tests of life, and be at peace at the same time. How many of you can say you need this kind of message? Yeah, now, we do understand the world doesn't have any stress or pressure. You know, everything is working out perfect. I mean, gee, when I got up this morning, everything was just perfect. Didn't forget a thing. Not a care in the world. Why? Perfect year. Now, would you believe that? If that's a confession of the heart of a believer? but actually did not live that way? How many of you know that you're viewed from other people under pressure and stress? How many of you know other people observe that? But when you can be at peace. You know, I never could understand this statement when Jesus was born. The angels declared peace on earth and goodwill towards man. That scripture always boggled me because I was one of them Christians that were so tense that I walked around holding onto a bamboo shoot that I saw on this poster with a cat hanging on. It said, "Hang in there, baby." Showed this cat hanging on a piece of bamboo, eyes as big as 50 cent pieces. But I've learned we don't have to go through life like that, hanging in there. We can know the God of peace in the midst of storms. We can know Him. Boy, I tell you, when He was ministering this to me, just something about life, it just like, man, God, there is a way. In the midst of storms, there is a way. So, start with, let's really encourage ourselves in the how to handle stress or pressure in life. Turn over to John 16. This is a very, very good place to start. John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have great success. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." It's not what it says, does it? Jesus gave a negative confession here. He says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Thanks a lot, Lord. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now I want you to stop and think about that verse. How many of you really thought about that verse? In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. You know what that means? In the midst of tribulation, you can have good cheer. How many of you can truthfully say, "Well, I messed up there"? Well, I can say that. Just ask my wife, ask my kids. They'll tell you. I sometimes turn around and look at a trial or a tribulation just like a cow does at a new gate. I just sit there and say, "Where did that thing come from?" Your cow will sit there and just stare at that gate wondering, "It shouldn't be here. Where did it come from?" And yet that cow walked that way and there was no gate before. And all of a sudden, one day he walks that way knowing that that's the way to go and there's a gate. Some of us look at tribulations in life that way. What can I do to deserve this? You know what? I got some more revelation for you. Did you know that when you receive the Word of God, then you're safe and secure from the devil? I got my own Bible now. No, it says, once you've received the Word of God, Satan comes immediately to remove the life. The life that's in the Word of God. He doesn't want you to have a living out of it. So he wants to create tests and trials. He wants to bring in the deceitfulness and the cares of this, things that will remove or choke the life of God that should be alive in you in the days of the tests and trials. Amen? So if you have pencil and paper, I want you to write this thing down. The keys to breaking the pressures of life, not removing them. Number one, you have to focus on your vision, your purpose. Not on daily pressures. You have to focus on vision. You have to focus on purpose in your life. You're not on a conveyor belt, and when it all, you end up at the end of the, just dump you off. No, that's not what life is about. God intended for you to live purposely. Number two, you have to develop positive sensory perception. You have to develop that. You have to learn how to see singularly. Number three, you have to keep control. You don't live a life responding, just reacting. You have to live life where you're under control. Another one is keep yourself clean. Another one is use your faith and patience. Another one is seek God through His Word. Seek God through His Word. Pray in the Spirit on a regular basis. And partner with God financially. These are the keys that will help you handle pressure in life. They've helped me more now this last few months than they ever have. And of course I got attacked the most, but glory to God. These are the things. If you write these down and you go through the scriptures that we're going to go through today, it will help you immensely. I found that if you don't learn how to handle pressure very well in life, you're more offendable than you realize. A man who learns how to handle, man or woman, learns how to handle pressure in life properly, you're not only a good witness to a dying world, you're a good witness to a world that is in chaotic mess, that has no peace. Well, God says that Jesus came into the world that we might have peace, glory to God. Shalom, shalom. That belongs to us. Well, it doesn't mean that we're going to have a test and trialless life. Jesus just said in John chapter 16, verse 33, in the world you shall have tribulation. You can't pray it away. But He says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You know what that means? It means even though life deals you a hard blow, you've got a winner you can partner with to get through that thing and to come out on top. You'll go through the fire, but you will not be burned. You go through the waters, but they'll not overtake you. Glory to God. He was referring to the testimony of those Old Testament saints. Look at Meshach. Shadrach and Abednego. Threw them in that furnace. Most of us say, oh Lord, where's another way out of here? And when they looked in there, they saw a fourth man running around that fire with them. What a testimony. Can you think of anything worse? Somebody open the incinerator and throw you in there? How come he's not being consumed? I don't know. There's a fourth one running around there. I thought we only threw three of them in there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. First thing is turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to learn something about what the apostles had to say. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at what the apostles had to say about the trials and tests of life. Go to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Glory to God. You know what he's literally saying? There is something on the inside of us. God gave it to us. Deposited it there. Put it there. That what? Notice this. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know what that's saying? When you're in a place where it just seems like there's no way out for you, it looks like all hell has come against you, and you're sitting in this place, and all of a sudden you realize that there is a hidden treasure on the inside of you, glory to God, that God has given you. And it is a power that brings glory to Him when you learn how to tap into that power. Now he goes on to say, look at this, we are troubled. This word trouble means to be pressed in. It means an external thing. To be pressed in. On every side. Yet not distress. You know what he said? Even though the pressures of life has brought us an external pressure, an outward pressure. Like everything is coming in and crushing us. He didn't say it wouldn't come. He said, though it comes. Notice what Paul said. Yet not distressed. You know, that word is a beautiful word. You know what it means? Yet not distressed. Yet we do not feel that our life has been narrowed to that pressure. Glory to God. Narrowed or pressed in on us. Even though life wants to create that in us, we don't feel that way at all. We don't feel like we're in a limited, narrow place. Glory to God. What kind of mind did these apostles have? They had a great mind for God. Now listen. We are perplexed. Oh, none of us have ever faced perplexity. You know what that means? Not knowing how to proceed any further. Perplexed means not knowing how to go any further. It means like, man, we're now here, it's over. It's finished. Oh, but look what he goes on to say. But not in despair. Whoo! To be at loss. When you feel like it's ended, he says, but we're not at loss. We have resources. Glory to God. We have resources. I like that. But not in despair. Why? That word despair means to be at loss without any resources. We've never gotten that far. No matter how it seems like its end, we don't have an end of resources as a child of God. Ooh, I like this one. Whew. Persecuted. You know what this word persecuted means? It means to pursue somebody with repeated blows. Oh, none of us have ever felt that. When is this going to end? That is not the confession to have. When is this going to end? Oh, look at this. Persecuted. But not forsaken, abandoned. That means that whatever you go through, God is there whether you realize it or not. He's there as an ever-present source and help in time of trouble. Cast down or thrown down. But look at this. But not destroyed. That means even though you get cast down and you're thrown down, the purpose of that is not to perish. I'll tell you, you and I as believers, we have not been designed to perish. We have been designed to succeed. Oh, let's look at another testimony. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. I like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Some Christians, when they gave me some of their testimonies under tests and trials and pressures of life, I said, good Lord, this verse will never have any value to them. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation. Actually, this is the Greek word trial. There is no test, temptation, or trial taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. And then you're free. Look at the rest of that verse. That you may be able to bear it. You know what that's saying? No matter what test or trial you get into in life, God will place you in a position to where during the test or the trial, you're able to bear it. Doesn't mean you're out of it. It means you're able to bear it. You're able to bear it. Am I speaking to anybody here today, or is it just me? Oh, look, I'm going to read this out of the Greek. Temptations you have not taken except what is human, but faithful is God. Faithful is God. Fearful Christians under trial do not know a faithful God. God is faithful. Why is He faithful? He's faithful to see to it that you have a place you can go in peace in spite of what's around you. Now look at this. But faithful is God who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but will make with the temptation. With the temptation. You see, we're waiting for God to do something about the temptation so we can get out of it, then we're able to bear everything. No, He puts you in a state of being able to bear anything in the midst of it. Glory to God. What a testimony. Will make with the temptation also the way out so that you may be able to endure it. He'll put vision in you of the light that's at the end of the tunnel. Well, I can see you're all happy here this morning. I'm going to take that as you're so intently listening, you ain't got time to shout. That's how I'm going to read that, Bubby. Let's get over to Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at another testimony of Paul. Our translators messed it up royally. Now, Paul is talking, to the Philippians, how he's appreciated financial help and everything. Loved it. Thanked him for it. But look at verse 11 in Philippians chapter 4. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Because I know both how to be abased and I know how to be to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I hate our translators. I do. They so irritate me. They twist things, and if they just leave it alone, we'd be a whole lot better off. But I'm going to tell you something, people. When I'm ever in a test or a temptation or a trial, I have learned one thing. I'm not going to be content with it. Are you going to be content with it? Are you going to put up with it? Well, that's what they said we were to do. Put up with it. I learned how to be in the straits, and I learned how to abound. But whatever state I'm in, just put up with it. Be content, for that's your lot in life. No, I've found that you're better off being a fighter. Because when the kingdom of God comes within you, I've learned that the scripture says, but the violent will take it by force. What belongs to you, you need to take it by force. Well, then why is it I learned and I think everything I want? I'm learning one of everything. I'm in the beacon, damn it. Well, that don't take no moral integrity. Just fall down on the ground and say, what's the matter? Oh, you have no idea what I'm going through. Well, learn to be content with that. Get up off the ground. Just be content with your lot in life. God didn't call you to be content. God called you to be a fighter. He called you to move forward. He called you to attack anything that's not of God and to shake that thing out of you. That's what He's called you to do. He's called you to succeed, not fail. Here's what it says in the Greek. Not that I speak by way or lack, for I have learned what conditions I am to be self-sufficient.
Glory to God. To be self-sufficient. When the devil hits me, it don't matter. I've learned that God has made me self-sufficient no matter what state I'm in. How about you guys? Are you going to be content, or are you going to look at it as being self-sufficient no matter what state you're getting in? Because he says, I have learned the secret in knowing the self-sufficiency. This word, to be content, is the Greek word autarkes. It means to be possessed of sufficient strength, to be strong enough for a thing, the ability to defend yourself and ward off any condition or state. In this case, what wars against even your mind. It's not talking about just laying back. Just let the world stomp all over you. God didn't. He said no matter what state you're in, you have learned that you're going to be self-sufficient, having enough strength to be able to take on anything. Why? God's with you. Rahab, she learned the secret. She was probably thinking, why did these spies come? Well, they got a spy out. All the inhabitants of the land are freaking out because God's showing up. Well, how did I get that interpreted? Over there in Joshua, when the spies got into the house, she said, hey, when we heard that you guys were on the banks there, news travels fast. And you know what her testimony was? Not them. It was the God behind them. She says, for the inhabitants of this land, their hearts are melting within them. For your God, He is God. Didn't mention nothing about the spies. She was probably thinking, I wonder if they're serving the same God that we're freaking out over. Sorry to say that. And the spies come back after hearing Rahab's testimony. The spies come back and say, we're grasshoppers in their sight. Where'd they get that revelation? I'll tell you where they got it. They got it from a mind that was not controlled by God. Listen, God doesn't view you as a grasshopper. How does God view you? He views you as a person whom He can work through if you just let Him. Which means your strength is not on your own, baby. It's on God, predicated on God in you. A lot of us just don't want to let God out of us. Most of us just want to go spy out the land. Well, you ain't going to enter the land spying it out. You just got to go for it. For I know, verse 12, I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed. That means I have learned the secret to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Notice this, no matter what that state was, he says, I can do all things in the one empowering me. That's what it says in the Greek, to the one empowering me. Most of us just, we're so trial conscious, temptation conscious. We don't realize we got something on the inside of us that is empowering us to do something about the thing. Can I hear a real good amen?
Amen.
All right.
You just don't understand my situation.
I don't want to understand your situation. I want to understand your situation in the light of the God in you, the one empowering you. Don't give me none of your philosophy. Now, focus on your vision. Proverbs 29:18. Let's go there. Proverbs 29:18. I'm telling you, I've been in a situation where it looked like it was over, baby. Look at verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Look at this word perish.
This word literally means left naked with no protection. No ability to cast off restraint. Verse 18 literally means that without God's word, people abandon themselves to their own ways. Hosea 4:6, and when you abandon yourself to your own ways, then you're trying to deal with your life, circumstances, and your own intellect. And the problem the world has what it has is because the world only has their intellect to live by. You and I have more than our intellect. Amen. We have the Spirit of the living God. I had one person one time tell me, he says, well, how are you going to get out of this one? And I turned to him and I said, thank God I got a Holy Ghost. Amen. You know what they told me? Well, you'll need him in this case. Well, what is that all about? I'm left to the abandonment of the Holy Ghost because the situation's so horrible. Thank you, God. I wouldn't want to be where they're at. Proverbs 29:18. Where no vision, the people perish. If you lose vision, you're on your way out. I don't care what test or trial, when you lose vision, you're on your way out. And God tells us there's no temptation to take, that He won't give us vision. He won't let us see the end. That we'll come out good if we just trust in Him. Sometimes some things get beyond your natural ability to do anything, and God loves it when you still turn to Him and He just flat blesses you right out of that thing. Because He's faithful. I don't care what any of you have to say today. If you've taken the low road, go ahead. But I'm going to tell you something. My God is faithful. He will see to it that I will get out of every test or trial I get into. He promises me that in the Word of God. Matthew 6, develop a sensory perception. You know, you see things with your mind. How many of you know that to be true? You see things with your mind. Your mind has an eye. Verse 22, Matthew 6. The light of the body is the eye, what you see. What you see brings light. Now notice what he says. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. The word single in the Greek is the word haplos. It means non-influenceable. Right. It means that you don't have two visions going here. You see one way and yet you see another. No, when your sight is influenced, you'll lose vision. Right. You won't allow God to be empowering you. God never called you to ask you to do anything that He's not able to do in you and through you and to you. Right. I'm preaching myself happy. The sermon's good for me. But if thine eye be evil, the word evil means influence, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You might find a natural way out of your situation. But I want to tell you what, if that's your light, then what are you going to do when the next one comes? Right. You weareth yourself out. Like I'm wearing myself out now preaching here. Keep control. Respond. Don't react. Keep control. Respond. Don't react. Proverbs 15:1. Go over there. I hope I'm giving you something today that you guys can... Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I've learned how to keep myself from reaction. I don't listen to what everybody says. You know, the voice of tragedy, the voice of a test or a trial, can come very negatively to your life, especially when you're in the midst of it. You got to learn to ignore them. Oh, I've seen somebody get there before. Oh, I've seen it.
What makes you think you're going to get out of it? They were a lot better saint than you. Well, what you ought to do is hand them a shovel and say, put me 6 feet under when it's over. Just hand them a shovel and say, well, okay, then you go ahead and dig my ditch for me. And I'll go lay down in it. Well, they'd look at you like you was nuts. But that's the way they're talking to you. You know, God isn't a sugar daddy. You got into this mess, God's going to see to it, you get out of it. I don't find no scripture that says that. Proverbs 25:28. I tell people this all the time. You know, it's okay to be in the test or trial, but make sure you didn't draw it down around you. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, his own nature, is like a city that is broken down without walls. You have no protection. When a man can't get control of himself, he has no protection. None whatsoever. You got to learn to get control. You don't react, get control. I know some people you don't even have to say nothing to. And you get a reaction out of them, and the devil just gets control of them, and they're down the road. I've had people say that I've run into, I haven't seen you in a long time. Where have you been? We miss you at church. Oh, I know. Well, Pastor, to be honest with you, I'll tell you the truth. One day you were going into service, and you looked at me, and your eyes were so full of hate for me. I didn't know what to do. My eyes were full of hate for you? Yes, I knew right away. You hated me. I had to leave. I looked at him and I said, you know what that is? That's wacko thinking. What? Who told you that?
Oh, nobody had to tell me. I just saw it all over you.
I said, well, you know what? You believed a lie. I said, if I ever looked at anybody with hate and you felt that, I wouldn't want to be at the church anyway.
Really?
Yes. Let me hug you here a little bit. Let's love on one another. And I did. And they started coming back to church. They were gone again. Second time I ran across them, didn't say a word. Why? Well, it probably wasn't me. It was probably somebody else. Because you can take your mind and run on vanity all day long. Going just by what you see. You know what I would have admired in that woman? If she'd have come up and said, what's your problem, Pastor? Right on. No problem. I told her, usually before a service, sometimes I get so intent that I'm not paying attention to anybody. I'll walk by somebody and say, hi, I don't even know they're there. But you can't be that easily offendable. What are you going to be like under a test of trial? Devil going to come to say, you don't want them. You know what the scripture says? The waters will overtake you and you'll drown. And you'll believe that. You've got to have control over your nature, your spirit. The attitude of things. You've got to have control of them. Don't react. Have control. So that you don't think stupid, dumb things under pressure. That's when you're most prone to think stupid things anyways, when you get under pressure. Anybody bear witness with that? Oh, can I hear a little more, you know, truth here? Hey, man, a lot of us get under that, man. We get under pressure. We start thinking weird. We have a tendency to take on attitude. When you take on attitude, you hear things so different. You do. You hear it so different. You know what he said? You know what he preached? He said this and he said that. And you listen to the tape and he didn't do anything wrong. Just attitude. I've had some people come up to say, best message you ever heard. And I've had other people say, all as I heard was, oh. That's the only thing they understand is donkey talk. When you have the wrong attitude, you're a donkey. When you get the right attitude, you're on the right horse.
Praise God. All right? Hebrews 12:14. Keep yourself clean. Run into Christians all the time.
How far can I go and not lose my salvation?
Some Christians I know, man, they couldn't keep themselves clean if God kept them away from mud pits. And they come up and tell you, I believe in once saved, always saved. Leave them alone. Let them believe that. They might lose their salvation over the fact that they have stepped out of their walk with God. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, which without which no man shall see the Lord. So you've got to pursue righteousness, holiness. Not try to see how far you can go without getting God ticked off at you. That's stupid. Go for it all. Somebody criticized for me about this wine stuff. Well, who wants to be a third-rate citizen of the kingdom of heaven? I want to enter in top-notch, man. I want to be the one that says I never touch alcohol to my lips after I got saved ever again. It doesn't matter what people think, whether I believe in a sip or not. It's irrelevant. It says that my testimony, I want it honorable before the Lord. And the more I give up this of the natural world, and the more I cling to that which is of the heaven, then I'm going to rejoice when I'm in the presence of Jesus. And not be ashamed at His appearing. There are Christians who can be ashamed at His appearing. Another one. Use your faith in patience. Hebrews 10. And go to verse 35 and 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God... Some Christians, I'd like them to do the will of God under pressure. They're not even doing the will of God under pressure. They're freaking out, falling apart like some cheap watch. Look at this. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Faith and patience inherit the promises of God, not falling apart. Here's another one. Seek God through His Word. Matthew 4:4. Seek God through His Word. This is when Jesus was in the temptation. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Glory to God. Under temptation. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the devil. And you know what he's telling the devil? He's not telling the devil a logos there. He's speaking a rhema. Because that word for word there is not logos, it's rhema. He says, but man shall not live by bread alone. Not the circumstances of life. Not the trials of life. Not what life has to offer. But man shall live by what he speaks concerning the word of God. He spoke to the devil. Most of us are not prepared when He shows up. We try to convince that we're above Him. Psalms 112:5. You guys want me to quit? A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. You see, when you seek God through His Word, God gives you the right judgment for His Word to work in your life. Because the word discretion there is the word judgment. He'll give you what is the proper judgment for something. You need to be able to judge something properly under pressure, under tests and trials. I don't care what anybody says. And the Word of God is the only thing where you'll be able to judge it correctly. Lately, I've been doing that. I've been pulling my Bible out. Okay, now what do you got to say about this, God? And I'll go right to it. I just had to do that recently about the tithe and the offering. I had to go to God about it. And boy, when God confirms something in your heart, man, I'll tell you, it is good stuff. Isaiah 28:26. Isaiah 28:26. For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. When you get into the Word of God, you're going to find not only proper judgment, but God is going to teach you correctly. Do you believe that? So when you get under the pressures of the world, that is a part of it. Pray in the Spirit regularly. Romans 8:26. Pray in the Spirit. Be edified. Turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, go to verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth maketh manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee. Isn't he talking about believers here? Isn't that something? He says believers are looking like dead people. Believers are looking like dead people. Not even alive to the things of God is what he's saying here. He says, therefore, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I found that believers that walk in darkness are the ones that are not believing and reproving darkness by light. Because God can only give you light. But you got to be awake to receive it. Now, I love this one. See then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. God will see to it that if you wake out of your slumber concerning spiritual things and you get back on track, He says the first thing He'll do is He will take wasted time and give it back to you. Glory to God. I like this. Walk circumspectly. It is the Greek word akrobos. It means like a sports thing, like being accurate when you're working on things. It actually means to be accurate, to be careful, to be diligent, and to be exact in your timing. You know, some of these athletics, they're exact in their timing. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, be drunk with the Holy Ghost. Be filled daily. And the last one is partner with God financially. Partner with God financially. Malachi 3. I know it's Old Testament, but the principles are still working the same today. Turn over to Malachi chapter 3. This is where God took me. Malachi chapter 3. And if you will look at verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I wish I had more time to go into this, but he talked about your fruit being non-corruptible. I do not believe that you give of your tithes by law. I believe it's an issue of the heart. Now listen to me. God put this in my heart just recently. Turn over to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We're going to connect it right with this one. He spoke it to me very clear. I'm going to tell you something about God writing His laws on our heart. I'm going to tell you what. You know what the purpose of that is? So that you won't live by law. So that He will change your heart to fulfill law simply because now you desire to and you want to. Are you following me? Well, you know what giving? You know what giving is? It's also part of that law. It's part of that law. Whether we realize it or not. Because the law was before, or the tithe was before the law. When the law came into being, God specifically instructed that all the priests be directly connected to the tithe by law. Are you following me? Now you and I are not under the law of the tithe, but we're under the law of the issue of the heart, which is tithing. Now what did he say in Malachi here? He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that the fruit of your ground will not be left barren. And I had to get this settled in my heart. I had to get it settled in my heart. And it's settled in my heart. I am financially going to connect with God any way I can until I am complete in this area. I purposed it in my heart. I'm going to tell you something. In Revelation 12:11, are you ready? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Oh, I tell you, people, the word testimony, when I looked at that word, it comes off the word martyr. Martyr. It literally means, the word testimony literally means a certification of action, what is witnessed by the participant. Do you know something? Satan can come and accuse you. But he'll stop accusing you when you take the life of God that is in you and you take action and you bear witness through the Word of God, and then you'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb. When you participate, good God, financially, people, I'm going to tell you something. You have just dealt the devil his number one testimony. If you're partnering with God, devil, you keep your hands off my money. Tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I've witnessed both. And when I hadn't been given to God, I got zippo. When I give to God, God blesses. And there are many of you that have that testimony. Don't you tell me not financially participating with God. He's just going to hand it to me out of a murmuring and a complaining. No way, baby! You're going to stand up and be a witness that you can do whatever God asks you to do. Do you believe that? These are the principles that you need to work on. In the midst of tests, trials, and tribulation. And listen, I guarantee you, they will work for you. Yes, I've never been more settled and at peace in my heart and life than I have been recently because of going over these principles. I knew them, but they slip. How many of you know, you're going along with God real fine, and all of a sudden you let these principles slip, and you just, like, you wake up one morning and say, my God, am I a Christian? Got to stay on top of yourself. You do. Stand up, everybody. How many received the Word of God this morning? Hallelujah. 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 You have to partner with God in everything that He wants to write on your heart. You have to partner with God in everything He wants to write on your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, with every head bowed, every eye closed, we are now going to come to an end of this service. And Father, I ask that if there be anybody here that might be just visiting and not really know whether they're saved or not, they might have been churched. We don't know. But we know one thing, if there's any question as to whether they're a child of God or not, that has to be settled. And if there be anybody here that has never made a commitment to Jesus and would like to be saved, we want to give you the opportunity to come forward and receive salvation. What a wonderful gift. Now, we're not going to do anything to embarrass you here. This morning, we have our altar ministers that want to minister to you. And so we're not going to do it just for everybody to just focus in on you. We want you to feel free to respond to this altar. If you're here as a believer and you've been backslidden in your heart, you need to restore that fellowship. You need to restore the fellowship. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need the power. You don't need a religious spirit. You need the power of God. The well of salvation is wonderful. That will sustain life. But it says, out of the innermost belly shall flow rivers of living water. A river is what creates power. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so with that said, if that fits any one of your ears, I want you to feel free to step out and come forward and let us confirm. Let us pray with you and bring confirmation. Anybody? Hallelujah. Our altar ministers are here ready for you. If these issues are not settled in your heart, don't harden your heart today. Come forward. Come forward. Yes, right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Don't hesitate. Today is a day of salvation. Hallelujah. Lord, I come. Keep praying, saints. Take my life. I offer it to you as a living sacrifice. Anyone else? Dear Father, we thank you for this wonderful couple that has come forward here this morning. As we turn them over to the hands of our ministers at the altar, Father, may their every need be met completely and clearly in Jesus' name this morning. Amen and amen. I want you both to turn around, and behind you, you have an altar worker. Huh? Okay. All right. Oh, okay. Okay. Just go with those two behind you, and you'll be blessed. Okay. How many of you, we're not going to give an altar call on this. How many of you do agree you need to be more stable under pressure? How many of you do agree that God wants you to have peace? Even if you've made mistakes, God wants you to still have peace. If you recognize your mistake, it's over. You'd still have a right to freedom and peace. So let's all, in acknowledgement to this prayer, let's raise both our hands in the new birth relationship that we have, a testimony, and let's all say this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to be a good example. I want to bring as many as I can into the kingdom of heaven. May I think on these principles today and apply them to my heart and succeed before the eyes of men. This day, I receive that strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you all can go home until tonight. I want you all back here. God bless you.